Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you on a beautiful, sunny Sunday morning in San Clemente. Also want to welcome all of you that have joined us online. Thank you for being part of our morning as well. Hey, I might have mentioned this, but if I didn't, it's worthy of mentioning again. If you were here 3 weeks ago, we had Youth Takeover Sunday. Do you remember that? And our youth are going down to Mexico to help build some homes. And we did a little fundraiser there, wanted to build two homes. They're $12,000 each in materials, et cetera, et cetera. So our goal was two homes, $24,000, and you all gave $26,000. So thank you. And so the goal was met. They're going to build two homes. Just a little sidebar, just so you know how we do fundraisers here. We had a goal of $24,000. When we hit $26,000, we contacted the last givers that exceeded 24 and gave them the opportunity to get a refund, give your money back, or you can contribute towards food for other laborers down there during the project. You all gave to the food, but I just want you to know that when we have a goal and we meet it, we stop it. We just don't go keep coming. But super blessed. We have a generous church, like the Apostle Paul said to Corinthian church, I believe it was, stop giving when he was doing fundraising for Jerusalem churches. And so for you, in this case, stop giving. No more giving to the Mexico trip. So be praying for them, though. They're going down here in the next couple weeks. Easter. What can I say about Easter? Well, it's a unique time of year from a church attendance standpoint. We almost double. And that's why we added three services this year, 8, 9:30, and 11. Now, here's the deal. When you got double the crowd, you got double the needs. And we really need help in our kids' ministry. A lot of families come on Easter and we take care of their kids and we want to make sure we do a great job. But every year, especially this year, we're shorthanded. So if you could possibly volunteer for just that weekend, even just to help us out, that would be great. You can contact Anna, just write down Anna, and you can call the church office. You can talk to those at the welcome kiosk. They'll give you more information. Or you can maybe even just write on a card you got, just rip it off and say, I'll help in children's and give me your information and we'll get back to you. So if you could do that, that'd be super helpful. Another favor I want to ask for you, two more favors actually. The other one is we have three services, 8, 9:30, and 11. Which one you think is going to be the most popular? 9:30, exactly. So if you're a regular tender and you can possibly come at 8 or 11, that will be huge because most visitors will come when it's most convenient for them, and we want to make sure that we're not turning them away. So if you can possibly make that adjustment. And then the final favor, stickers, Klingons, whatever you want to call this. So this... We always say invite a friend, invite a... This is such an easy way to invite because you're really not speaking to anybody. You just put this on your back window. And it has a time stamp on it, so right after Easter, it'll fall off. So, you know, it just happens that way. But a lot of you, I know you're sticker resistant, I don't know. And that's a bad word, sticker, because it freaks you out. You think you're going to ruin your paint job or whatever. Let me show you how this works. So look how easy that is. Look at that, and then look how it comes off. I mean, come on. For kingdom work, you're not gonna grin and bear it for 2 weeks and put this on your back window. I think you will, won't you? Okay, and we made it even easier. You don't even have to get one at the kiosk. It's underneath your windshield wiper on your car before you leave. And in case, because I know I've been doing this for years, in case your window's dirty, we include a little wipe with this. So before you leave, you can actually take out the wipe, rub it off, put it on, and then we're going to inspect you before you leave. No, just kidding. But seriously, think about how many hundreds of people will be behind you at a stop sign or a stop light. Or whatever, and it's super easy. Easter, and it's got our website. People can remember it, PacificCoastChurch.org, and then they get all the information there. Can you do that? All right. If you got two cars, two stickers. And if you lost it or something happened weird, guarantee there'll be one on your car next week as well. So just trying to help out. But anyway, that'd be great. What else can I tell you? Oh, yeah. Hey, I did not mean to start a Taco Bell revival last week. I mean, I don't know what happened, man. I'm getting texts. I'm getting pictures of receipts I ate there. It's like discipleship Taco Bell. It's like, that wasn't the point. And then there's division. Oh, no, I'm Del Taco all the way. And so now we got this thing. So that's on me. Sometimes when you illustrate a point, the point can get lost in the illustration. In fact, if I asked you what the point was illustrating, you'd probably go, I have no idea. All I know is I got a discount now. So anyway, sorry about that. So we all make decisions to join things. And when I say that, memberships. Like I joined 24 Hour Fitness, okay? You join the membership. Some of you, maybe you're part of a golf club or maybe a tennis club. Frequent flyer program, right? If you join a company through employment, you might join a school. You become a student there. Whatever you join, usually that organization in some way, shape, or form provides a list or some kind of benefit package that you can look at and go, okay, this, I got to make a decision whether I join or not based on the cost versus the benefit, right? I mean, that's how they work. In fact, it even guides your process whether you say yes or no. Now, I would say the most important decision you could ever make is to become a Christian. And why do I say that? Because of the benefits package, because of what goes along with it, far outweighs any kind of cost you can imagine. Hey, sweetheart. What? See, she's saying amen in her heart. She's... Anyway, so I'm going to talk about that topic this morning in terms of, because we talk about the gospel being the good news. Well, what makes it so good? The benefits package. I've entitled this morning's message, and you can guess, benefits package, what is included when you become a Christian? What is included when you become a Christian? Now, maybe this morning you're online or you're in person and you're not a Christian. You're here seeking, figuring it out. I think this will be a very helpful study for you because it's right there and you're going to kind of see what's involved. You might have an imagined thought of what it is. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, I don't know. And for those of us that are, quote, already members, in terms, keep the metaphor going, we're Christians, hopefully this will be an encouragement to you because sometimes we forget the benefits of it. So we're going to be looking at an allegory, actually, that Jesus presents, not a parable, an allegory. In fact, John's gospel, who we're studying through, John 10, verses 1 to 13 this morning, there's no parables in the book of John. They're in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, but not John, for whatever reason, his style. But he does have allegories. Now, do you know the difference? A parable basically has one theme, one truth. An allegory has multiple themes, multiple truths. An allegory can actually have mixed metaphors. Pilgrim's Progress would probably be one of the more famous Christian allegories, and you got different characters there in different plots. Now, the things you got to be careful of when you're studying an allegory is to not put too much meaning on things. You want to hit the tops. You don't want to drill down too deep because it's an allegory. It's going to fall short. It's not going to make total sense even at times because we're going to be looking at an allegory that literally has a sheep, it has a shepherd, it has doors, it has robbers, thieves, a gatekeeper, and a hired hand. And we're going to see how that plays out. But they don't always make sense, as you'll see. But nevertheless, there are truths there. So the way Jesus presents it is he gives us the allegory. So we'll read that allegory just in its entirety. And then after that, people didn't understand. So now he explains it, and then we'll get in the explanation. Sound good? All right. Jesus is saying this in John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, that means it's really important, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. The text says this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. They didn't understand from a spiritual allegory standpoint what he was saying. Certainly this culture understood sheep. They understood shepherds. They understood sheepfolds. They understood hired hands. They understood how sheep understand the voice of their shepherd. I mean, this is like real life to them. If anything, we're at a loss, because there are not many shepherds living in San Clemente. Now, maybe online you're a shepherd and you get this, but for the most part, we're at a little bit of a loss. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, here's what they know about sheep and shepherds. Old Testament, God is the shepherd. This is a Jewish mind, the Old Testament, his audience. And people, Israel, is the sheep. Psalm 23, we all know that one. The Lord is my, I shall not. He does what? Leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. All this kind of thing. Because David is the sheep. God is viewed as the shepherd. So that's what they got. Now, let me show you a sheepfold, because I think this will help explain a little bit. That's an ancient sheepfold. You can see it's built with rocks around the whole side. That's kind of a high wall, higher than it looks, probably more like 10 feet high. And the door is right there at the opening. And what they would do is at night, these shepherds with their flocks would bring them into the sheepfold, okay? So multiple flocks in one group, kind of like a big pen, okay? And then a gatekeeper would lay across the entrance there. So sheep couldn't get out, wolves couldn't get in, that kind of thing, or stealing them or whatever. So you could see the only way to get to the sheep, you'd have to go around. You can't go through the door, okay? So you start to see now how the allegory is starting to play out. Also, when the shepherds would go in, they would call their sheep, and only their sheep would come to them. Why? Because they know their voice, okay? And that's what the allegory says. They know the voice. If a stranger comes in, they ain't going with him. I started reading about this because this isn't my lane. And I read that when a shepherd is with a sheep or a baby lamb, when it's born, they talk to it a lot. And so it gets imprinted in their mind and in their ears. And when I hear that voice, I go to that voice. That voice is safe. That voice is mom, dad, whatever. And so that's super interesting that when they hear the voice, right, then they go, otherwise it's somebody else's voice and they ain't going. Okay, got that? Helpful a little bit? Okay, good. So the reality is, though, they don't know what's going on, nor do we, really. I mean, we can kind of infer, but Jesus helps us out by explaining it. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, so it's important, I am the door of the sheep. Now, this is where I told you allegories sometimes don't make sense. How can you be a door? But it's an allegory, so roll with it. I am the door of the sheep. And he who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Okay, there's a shift. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So we got Jesus saying, I'm the door. I'm the door of that sheepfold, right? Not saying he's the gatekeeper, he's saying he's the door. Okay, so what's a door do? A door keeps things in, keeps things out. right? That's what a door does. So he's saying that, you know, basically, I'm going to be keeping things in. And what does keeping things in mean? Well, the text says if he goes through the door, he'll be saved. Saved from what? Well, in the allegory, saved from wolves, robbers, things that'll kill him, right? At the end of the day. So now, spiritually speaking, what is Jesus as the door save us from if we go into the sheepfold? Spiritual death, right? One protects physical death. Go in the door. Don't stay out at night. Bad news. Spiritually speaking, go in. Don't stay out. Bad news. And then the text says, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. So now there's this freedom that if you go in the door, then you can go back out. If you go in the door that Jesus provides, then you can go back out. You have some freedom now. You have access. But you got to go through the what door? The Jesus door to be saved. Saved from what? Death. Physical death? No. Spiritual death. Well, when does spiritual death happen? When your heart stops, right? Physical death's when your heart stops. But if you didn't go through the door that Jesus provides to protect you, then you will be separated from Jesus / God because you don't have that protection. So we got a contrasting sheep in, sheep out. What's the difference? Well, the ones out, spiritually at risk, death. The ones in, spiritually protected, safe, freedom, back and forth, life. How does it happen? You enter through me. So you're saved from spiritual wrath, death to life, because Jesus provides it. It's not physical, it's spiritual. So when we talk about what's included when you become a Christian, number one in your outline, eternal life. Eternal life. And this is the centrality of the gospel. This is the primary reason it's the most important decision, membership, whatever metaphor you want to use, becoming a Christian has, is eternal life. It's like Paul the Apostle said, if for in this life we hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than any man, because it's not a temporal benefit. Christianity provides the eternal benefit, the hope of heaven, forgiveness of God, presence of God. Not that, separation from God, hell, whatever other version you want, death, whatever one you want to call it. Jesus said later in John's gospel, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, you can include the door, if you want to keep going, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, I'm not a door, I'm the door. Remember, Let's Make a Deal? I know I'm dating myself with that, but just roll with me here. Game shows where they have doors, door number one, door number two, door number three, pick, you know, and you pick one, and it's like the risk is you pick the car or the cow, right? And then you pick the bad ones, like, rawr, rawr, and a cow looking at you, right? And you're like, darn, right? And they guess it. Which one are they gonna be? And you do it at home. It's door number two. I know it's number two, right? Here's the deal. With Christianity, the doors are open. Do you want the cow or do you want the car? Your call. It's obvious. It's there. It's on the platter. It's the benefit package, and it's the number one line item. Eternal life, the hope of heaven, forgiveness of God, the presence of God. Do you want that? Why wouldn't you? Yet, we often find other doors to put our hope in. The door of power, the door of money, the door of popularity, the door of looks, image, our brand, our likes. Benefits? Yeah. How long they last? They expire. And so Jesus, in this metaphor, is basically highlighting the centrality of Christianity. That's why Jesus came on a rescue mission. Rescue us from what? Being outside the sheepfold. Because outside the sheepfold is our sinful condition. We're at risk to ourselves. We're at risk to the enemy. We're at risk to being separated from God. Inside the sheepfold is the protection of the cross. And we'll talk about that in a second. It's like Luke said, or sorry, Mark's Gospel 8:36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? So if Jesus isn't your door right now, you're at risk. If Jesus is your door, you're one of his sheep. Well, how do I know if I've gone through the door? Talk about that in a second. But it's good to ask yourself the question and answer the question. Look at the next verse. I told you it was an allegory. We go from a door to what? I am the good shepherd. Okay? Now we got a shepherd, but it's a good one. Not just a shepherd, a good shepherd. Why? Because a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, man, he runs, he leaves, and the sheep, and they flees, and the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So now Jesus is comparing and contrasting a shepherd who owns the sheep versus a hired hand. The owner cares more, right? At a minimum. The owner cares more, and we're told cares to the point where he'll sacrifice his own protection, life, in order to care for his sheep. A hired hand, on the other hand, he's there for what? Money. There's no real ownership. It's not personal. It's just a money deal. It's a job. Now, Jesus might have been comparing himself to the Pharisees because they were in the audience at this time. Hard to know. But it's really a picture of what motivated the rescue mission. What motivated the cross? What motivated Jesus to be our shepherd and provide that protection of the sheepfold? And it's another benefit, and it's included when you become a Christian. Number two, the unconditional love of God. When you trust Jesus, when you walk through that door, you're stepping into the unconditional love of God. And it's the unconditional love of God that motivated Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, which we're about to celebrate. Now, unconditional love. The more you go into that topic, and by the way, it's usually not used in relation to God in general in population, love and God. I think most people, if they're honest, judge. They'd view God as a judge. And I better be a good person, because I'm not going to be a good person. The big man in the sky is going to, And so we start measuring our ability to be loved based on how good we are. I've been going to church for 2 months, feeling pretty good. I'm a good person. Okay, great. You're still a sheep outside the sheepfold and at risk if you don't walk through the door. And if the cross was conditional based on your ability to earn it, then why do you need the cross? So the logic doesn't hold when we kind of approach God as this judge, or unconditional. How about that one? Rarely use that one when we think of God, yet it is central to Christianity. Unconditional? There are sects of Christianity that say, not only is it conditional, to presume you would even have the hope of heaven is a sin. Why is it a sin? Because it's the perspective of your presumption that it's based on you. But if it's not based on you and based on him, then that presumption is worship. So it's super subtle. Paul puts it this way, Romans 5:7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us, his love, that unconditional love in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we didn't deserve it, we didn't ask for it, and yet we can have it. It's called grace. Now, when you really drill down on grace, what starts to emerge is how much value you have to God. Because he could have so many conditions, and yet he still loves you. That speaks to value, not that we bring, but that he has for us. Just yesterday, my wife, her birthday's coming up, and she said, I only want one thing for my birthday. I want to spend it with my grandkids. We have six, and one on the way. So we had a birthday party. Balloons, cake, prizes, games. Kids are screaming, yelling, high volume. We had little games like, okay, one sits across the other, you blindfold it, and see if you can put makeup on the person correctly, and then do it the other way and judge who wins and all this. They're trying to cheat. I see them, they're like this, and I'm putting them on. No, I can't see anything, and they're like this, you know, because they know there's prizes, see? And the volume. Did I say volume? Yeah, the volume. And they got opinions, trust me. There isn't one introvert in the group. And they're ages 6 to 12. Now, the more I describe that to you, the more you're probably going, holy moly, glad you had that party, right? Bet you were tired, bet you were... It was wonderful. Why? Because they're our grandkids. So God has this deep value for you. Well, how many parents would die for their children? Okay? You all raise your hand? Yep. How many of the babysitters you have would die for your kids? That's what we're talking about. That's the contrast here. God the Father, the metaphor is there, of that intimacy, of that deep love. And as deep as your love is for your children or your grandchildren, God's love goes even deeper. What do you mean, Mark? Well, we talk about death. We talk about death on the cross. And we can look out through Christendom and find some amazing people. Stephen, Paul, Lawrence, Wycliffe, Tyndale, Joan of Arc, these famous martyrs for their faith, that died for their faith, because there was opposition coming against them and they had to make a choice. Do they want to die? No. But if you're calling me to deny my faith, I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to die. I mean, that's hero stuff, right? Jesus wasn't a martyr. He was an offering. He brought it on himself. He willingly went to the cross. He wasn't like left with no option. He willingly went to the cross. God could have easily said, you know what? This whole creation thing, this whole human thing, they're so self-centered, so messed up. Let's start over. That's what I mean. The unconditional piece is so profound when you really get down to it. And it has implications. that you can't earn God's favor. It's unconditional. Now, when I'm part of 24-Hour Fitness, they ding my credit card every month for 40 bucks or whatever it is. And if I don't pay, I don't get the membership. That's not Christianity. You don't have to pay. In fact, if you try to pay, welcome to Phariseeism. And we kind of shift that way. It's kind of weird how we do that. We kind of shift in terms of, you know, we understand God's grace, we walk through the door, we embrace God's amazing unconditional love, and I think we kind of, then we shift and start to, now it's on me to be a better person, and it's not rooted in love anymore, it's not rooted in familia, God, my Father, my Savior, my Savior, I worship, I want to, versus now I have to. And I think we do that for ourselves because we feel better about ourselves, because we're very self-centered. And so if I can feel better about myself, that I'm a holier person, then in some way I think, I'm fulfilling my part. And what that does is immediately say that in some way you don't need God's unconditional love because you're good for yourself. But that's how legalism starts. Let me give you another example. Every week, I welcome our online community. How do you feel about that? Two options. That's awesome. People are actually tuning in, hearing the gospel, willing to include spiritual truth in their home, wherever they are around the country. And maybe God can work. Now we're not limited by in person. We can go beyond the zip code we live in. That's one way. Or the other way is, why does he thank them? Why does he even acknowledge them? They should be in church. Like me. Now, that doesn't sound like you want to be in church. It sounds like it was a hassle for you to come. You don't want to hassle the kids. You don't want to come get dressed. You'd rather lay around in your jammies. But you know what? You should go to church. And so I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to feel good about myself in church. And then you acknowledge those lazy butts out there who are in their jammies. Now, what's interesting is we don't think that way when we go to a concert or a Laker game, second row seat. Why is everybody watching on TV? They should be here. You don't want the crowds. You don't go to a concert and go, it's ridiculous. People are watching online. They should be here. When it's to church, notice how the front row isn't filled. Those would be sold out. Huh? So all I'm saying is this kind of self-value, this self I'm playing, me, can slowly have us forget, and this is the issue, that we need God's unconditional love. And we need to celebrate God's conditional love because we're in the sheepfold. And there are a lot of sheep outside the sheepfold, whether they're in this zip code or anywhere else, and however we can get there to share the good news of Jesus is what it's all about. See, when we have the right perspective, hold on, don't leave me. What'd I do with it? This takes on a whole new meaning. This is sheepfold stuff. It's a sticker. It's a Klingon. Sorry, I used the word sticker. It's a Klingon. Klingon sounds like Star Wars or Star Trek, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to get diverted. Okay, I don't want another Taco Bell here, so I'm going to put this away. No, but seriously, this is... This means also that you can't disqualify yourself. When you walk through the door, you're not kicked out. Can't qualify yourself because you're never qualified. I think it's important for us to sit in this week. Informationally, oh yeah, no, I understand those truths. Eternal life and unconditional love. Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. Sit in it. Stew on it. Process it. You got daily devotions. Go through those and explore it a little deeper. If you're not a believer, if you're not sure about your Christianity, if you don't really know if you've walked through the door, it's easy. I'll help you with that in a moment. But for the rest of us, I hope this kind of restores and kind of just recharges our thinking, especially about this upcoming Easter, when we get together on Good Friday and see a picture of unconditional love hanging on the cross. And then we celebrate on Easter an empty tomb, which is the hope of heaven, eternal life, a promise, the first fruits, as Scripture says, of who we can be, that when our physical body dies, we can be in the presence of God. Just it'll renew that value, especially for some of us that have been knowing the Lord for a long time, for decades. We don't want to yawn through this stuff. We want to celebrate it. Lord, we recognize that we can come to church, either in person or online, and have all kinds of perspectives, wants, needs, and desires. And you know that. And that's the amazing part. That even in our self stuff, you still love us. You still want us to be your sheep. And you provide that door through the cross. The door of forgiveness. The door of love, unconditional love. The door of mercy. The door of protection. All the spiritual things that you bring to us. So Lord, just help us with our gratitude, that it'll be an attitude of gratitude and we would be more thankful to you, care more about others who don't have it, that we would share with them, invite them. But if this morning you are not sure if you walk through that door, all it takes is for you to talk to God. Confess to God. Commit to God. That's what walking through the door is. There's nothing for you to do other than confess and commit. That's the walk. After that, God does the rest. He provides the forgiveness. He provides His Holy Spirit in your life. He provides eternal security. He provides the hope of heaven. You just have to confess and commit. You can do it in your own words, in your own prayer, or I can just pray right now and just a prayer maybe that you can follow and apply to your own life, maybe even just repeat it after me. But there's nothing special about the prayer. What's special is about your heart and wanting to walk through the door. Repeat after me. Lord, I come to you this morning. And I'm not sure if I've walked through the door. I'm at church, but I don't know if I've actually walked through the door. So, Lord, today I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I fall short. And I know I need to be saved. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin, for paying for it so I don't have to. I ask that you would forgive my past, my present, and my future. And I thank you for your unconditional love. I know I need it. And so, Lord, from this day forward, I want to commit my heart and life to you. Lord, from this day forward, I want to walk through the door. Please make me your sheep. Please lead me so I can follow. Lord, I thank you for those that prayed that, and I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would just indwell them, give them a spiritual hug, a supernatural hug, Lord, that just gives them the confidence and assurity that they're your child, they're your sheep. Lift that burden of sin and provide that grace of forgiveness. And I pray your protection on them from this day forward, because we know there is an enemy out there that would like to create havoc. And we just thank you for the protection we have in that sheepfold. And Lord, as believers, some of us for a long time, help us to just have more gratitude, more compassion, because of what you provide, the benefits we don't deserve by following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you leave, let me just say that if you walk through the door, if you prayed with me, just go out to the welcome kiosk out back and just ask them for a new believer's pack. They'll give you one, it's free of charge. It'll give you some steps, first steps to take. It'll give you a Bible and to where you can start reading your Bible. And if you want to let us know that you made that decision in your timing, let us know. The next step for you would be to be baptized. It's an obedient act, and it's something that we celebrate and we cherish, and so does God. So we could talk more about that, but be sure to get your new believers pack and get those stickers on those cards. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.